Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to another episode of CIO First Take here on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. For today, we will reflect on the June CPI print and what the data might mean for the Fed's course for monetary policy and your portfolio. Joining us for the conversation today, glad to welcome back both Brian Rose, Senior Economist Americas, as well as Nadia Lovell, Senior U.S. Equity Strategist. With that, Brian, Nadia, thank you both for spending some time today with our listeners to share some timely insight into today's CPI print, as well as the investment implications. With that, let's jump right into it, beginning with you, Brian. So we did receive this morning at 8:30 Eastern the June CPI print. Curious to hear your reflections on the data, and how would you characterize the current inflationary environment here in the U.S.?
Thanks, Dan. So the CPI data surprised the market to the downside, the headline CPI actually falling by a tenth month over month, and the core up a tenth. And one of the big developments is the owner's equivalent rent. This had been very sticky up until now. Everyone was looking for this to slow for a long time. Finally, it did slow. It's back to the sort of increases we were seeing pre-pandemic. And from a big picture perspective, consumer spending has moderated and supply chains have healed. That's resulting in a lot less inflationary pressure. And there's also some overheated prices that are falling back to earth, especially things like used cars, which boomed during the pandemic. So overall situation on inflation, it looks very good now. So the two very low inflation prints in a row, and it seems like there is just not a lot of inflationary pressure left in the economy.
So with that, Brian, I'm curious from your vantage point how the Fed might be interpreting this latest round of data. And can you remind us of CIO's expectations for monetary policy through year end? I know there's a lot of anticipation over a potential rate cut come September.
Sure. So for a long time, and going back to the late 2022, the Fed has been focused on services other than shelter. So goods prices have been trending lower for a long time. And we knew from timely data on new leases that rents were going to slow eventually. So the CPI data tends to lag by around 12 months. And but the new lease data has been good for at least 18 months. So they knew that this slowdown would come eventually, but the one thing the Fed wasn't satisfied with was these other services, and they were waiting for disinflation in these categories, and now we've had actually slightly negative prints for 2 months in a row. So not only has the data surprised to the downside, it's in exactly the area that the Fed most wanted to see signs of slowing inflation. And, if you add the inflation data with the labor market data, which has softened a lot, the unemployment rate moved over 4% in June. And Powell, in his congressional testimony, says, they see the labor market as being balanced now. And they're worried that, if demand for labor weakens any further, you could see layoffs starting to accelerate. So, both sides of the Fed's dual mandate, inflation and also labor market, are now sending the same signal, which is it's time to start cutting rates. And, I think very little chance of a cut at the meeting at the end of this month, but I think they're going to change their rhetoric, signal to the market that, they are prepared to cut at the September meeting as long as the data is consistent with what we've been seeing lately. And of course, the market is now fully pricing in that September cut. So unless there's some big surprise, we are on track for the Fed to cut in September. We're looking for one rate cut per quarter going forward, but there is room for the Fed to cut much more aggressively than that if the data worsens. So especially if you see bad signs coming from the labor market, the Fed could start cutting every meeting or cut more than 25 basis points. So our base case is 25 basis points each quarter, but there is room for more aggressive cuts if needed.
Well, Brian, thank you for the insights into the CPI print and the Fed, and it will be interesting to see what comes out of the upcoming July meeting as we look ahead to September and beyond. So with that, I do want to welcome Nadia into the conversation. So Nadia, in the wake of the CPI release this morning, what has the market response consisted of? And with respect to positioning, just given current conditions, how is CIO recommending that equity investors be positioned at this time?
Thanks, Dan. Yeah, obviously CPI coming in cooler was a big news this morning, but we also did have jobless claims fall from last week. And so it's somewhat of a Goldilocks scenario for the market today. And that's causing a bit of a reversion trade. So you're seeing rotation out of those secular growth and year-to-date winners. And largely that's been mega cap tech, as we know, and into cyclicals and more rate-sensitive sectors like real estate, utilities, and industrials. But if we peel back the onion just a little bit more, the housing-related stocks are rallying hard on the hope that, potential earlier rate cuts could unlock the housing market. And from a size standpoint, we are seeing a big move in small caps. They're catching a really strong bid, especially regional banks. And again, it's the hope that lower rates will alleviate some of the deposit costs and funding cost pressures that these banks have been facing. And so that long-awaited broadening out is happening, at least for today, Dan. You have over 400 S&P 500 members that are up on the day. But I think what's interesting is that the market cap weighted S&P 500 index itself is actually down about 1%, and the equal weighted is up 1%. And what this is telling us, this is a reflection again about how concentrated the market cap weighted index is in mega cap tech. And that's the fund is off today. We're seeing that space down today. We have the Magnificent Seven, which accounts for over 30% of the S&P 500's market cap. That's down roughly 4% today. Now, it remains to be seen then if this is an inflection point for any sort of new performance leadership. I think it's too early to tell, and we have had a few head fakes over the last 9 months or so, and there's still PPI that will come tomorrow. And while we know that rate cuts will help for some segments of the market, the growth picture is just as important and even more important. And there are signs that the economy is slowing. So in order for this broadening out to be sustainable, we really need to see the earnings growth side of the equation that needs to deliver. We'll get more data as we go through the upcoming second quarter earnings season, which really kicks off in earnest tomorrow with the banks. The bar is higher coming into the season. We have the consensus looking for high single digits or EPS growth versus when you look at the prior three quarters coming into the season, expectations was more for flat to low single digit profits growth. So that hurdle was a lot easier the last three quarters. And so it was easier for companies to beat. Now, that said, we do think that companies will beat, but the magnitude and the stock reaction might just be more muted than what we've seen in prior quarters. And of course, a lot will depend on that forward guidance. So so far from some of the early reports, it's sort of been a mixed bag. So the growth and the earnings picture needs to hold in there in order for this broadening out to kind of get additional life. Now, in terms of sector positioning, Dan, our most preferred sectors are tech and industrials, and our least preferred sectors are real estate and consumer discretionary. While tech is weak today, we do think that it is healthy for the sector to take a little bit of a breather. After all, this is a sector that is up some 30% since late April. So that's a huge rally. And so we do think that it's makes sense that we get a little bit of a breather here in order to reload. We are still in the very early innings of AI, and we do believe that the sector will remain in a broader uptrend and continue to outperform. Industrial is more of our cyclical exposure that we believe will benefit if we do sort of get this broadened out. The sector also has some secular characteristics, of course. It does have exposure to themes that we've been talking about, AI, infrastructure, nearshoring, and energy transition. So, Dan, today, a lot of moving parts, movement under the surface, but it's too early to determine if we are shifting to a new regime. So having exposure to both some of the year-to-date winners as well as some of the laggards like industrials, I think is prudent at this stage.
Well, Nadia, Brian, very timely commentary, analysis, guidance. Thank you both for keeping our listeners, our clients informed, and for joining us on this episode of CIO First Take. Again, today we recap the June CPI print, spoke a bit about expectations for monetary policy in the months ahead, spoke a bit about the market response, and we heard some guidance when it came to portfolio positioning. So, Nadia, Brian, thank you both again for your time today. Appreciate it. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.